1 billion years in the future, Earth still exists, though maybe not as we imagine it. Eras upon bygone eras worth of technology have been left behind by 8 previous and fallen civilizations. It is now up to the denizens of the 9th world to piece together what was left behind. Perhaps they're looking to carve out their place in the world, or simply to survive a land riddled with weird and unearthly dangers. Or perhaps still, they just wish to learn and uncover the secrets of the Numenera. Whatever it is this new era of adventurers and heroes is looking to discover, they'll have to dig through the imprinted echoes of the past to find it.
Anamnesis. Noun. The recollection or remembrance of the past. Reminiscence. Hello, and welcome to Imprinted Echoes, a family-friendly Numenera actual play podcast. My name is Zan, and I'm your GM. Thank you for joining us today, and as always, we hope you're staying safe and healthy. Having settled in just a bit, everyone does a little exploring. While some people are getting to know the city of Dynafell, others are investigating their travel companions' motives. While Oben's help has been greatly appreciated, no one is quite sure if he is to be fully trusted. Rooms are snooped in, noodles are enjoyed, and helpful guides are acquired. Join us as Nehemiah, Smalren, and Jory seek out information.
After a bit of an arduous journey, you have all finally arrived in Dynafell. Though not your long-term goal or location, it is a good place to stop, not only to resupply and rest a little bit, but also to hopefully throw off the folks who are on your trail. You have checked in to the Aneen and Far Inn, given yourselves rooms to stay in, as well as given your mounts a place to be pampered a little bit for a while. Some of you have gone off into the city, and others have not. We meet back up with Smalren, who is planning on snooping around in Oben's room. The door is locked. I assume you're going to attempt to pick said lock?
Yeah.
I will let this be espionage. That seems like a fairly stealthy, spy-like thing and skill. It will be a level 2, because this is, like I said, a simple skeleton key lock. This is not a Numenera something. This is not an overly complex scenario, which I think means
I just lets you do it.
Right? Because yeah. You're specialized.
Smalren looks at these keys and internally scoffs and then basically walks. Like, she actually takes the skeleton key that she was given for her and Nehemiah's room, inserts it into the keyhole for Oben's room, and then just very gently jimmies it until she hears the lock click.
The door swings open. The room is set up almost exactly the same, except for instead of a bunk bed, it's a single bed. And what are you looking for?
First thing she's going to do is close the door behind her and lock it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then first thing she's going to look for actually is any signs that Oben has taken precautions. Looking around to see, like, is there a hair placed across the seam of any of the drawers? Is there anything that appears to be, like, Numenera has been engaged to help protect any part of his belongings?
For sure. It does not look like he's unpacked anything. So just has his travel pack, which was kind of sparse to begin with, but has this travel pack and a couple other things. The cinch tie to his pack does have a relatively complex knot on it. Not hard to undo, but might be hard to replicate. That seems to be the only thing that is any sort of precaution. Doesn't seem to be any sort of Numenera.
Okay. Real quick, Smalren is going to pull out like a piece of string or the tie on like a pouch that she has or something and just see real quick if she thinks she can tie the knot that she's seeing.
It would probably be like a level 4 task. Definitely something that would require a lot of concentration and studying of the knot before replicating it, as well as a lot of time to make sure it's correct.
Gotcha. I would like to roll just to see if it's something she can do, but she gives it like 5 minutes. She gives it 5 minutes to mess with it. I understand if that would up the difficulty of it. I just want to see if I get lucky. And if not, yeah, she has a plan B.
For sure. Go ahead and roll. This will be a, I'm going to say, an intellect-based task.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think espionage would count for this.
That's fair. What do we think about perception tasks, using my Ogryn orb to focus in on the details?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Okay. Failure with a 7. So she tries to replicate it. She can't. So she decides not to touch the knot. However, basically everything for the most part appears to still be in his pack then. There's nothing has been brought out.
The only thing that is out is like he left his weapon behind. He wasn't going to take his glaive down to the bathhouse, as well as like a cloak or a robe, I think, that he was wearing. So like had taken that off. Those are the only two things that are out of the pack.
Smarin does kind of a quick cursory inspection, like checking the cloak for pockets, checking the glaive to see if there's anything unusual about it.
It's exceedingly well made and it is very clearly well used. Other than that, it's fairly standard fare.
Gotcha. And then she is going to pull out of her belt pouch the access glasses that she's been hanging on to for a while. So yeah, for both Zan and all our friends at home, these are goggles plus, it says either gloves or rings. I'm picturing it as like goggles that have like a series of rings strung along each of the earpieces that can be taken off and placed on each finger. And the effect is the user can see through up to half an inch of solid material and can pass their hands and anything their hands are holding through that solid matter. Once the area to be looked and passed through is chosen, roughly 18 by 18 inches, a new area can't be chosen. However, the effect does last for an hour.
So I assume you're looking into the pack.
Yes. Yeah, she is looking inside of the pack, and the outermost front wall of the pack is the material that she designates as what she can reach through.
For sure. Looking into the pack, you see his Fenderal mask, because that was something that came along with him, and a change of clothes, some rations, general stuff. There is a small portion of the pack that seems to be dedicated to various Numenera. You see a medium-sized rod with like crystal nodules on it. You see a small matchbox-sized case of some sort, metal. There's a little notebook. Not a journal, but what would equate to like a memo pad. And that's pretty much it, aside from your kind of like basic everyday items that everyone would have in their pack, or really nondescript stuff that isn't worth looking into.
First thing is she is going to reach through the front of the pack and grab first the memo pad, bring it out, and basically like kind of wake up the Ogryn orb. It's always awake. Yeah. It's always like... But I would assume he's pretty excited currently at the...
Oh, very. Very.
I want to skim this as quickly as possible, and I only want to know if it mentions any of us.
You flip through the pages, and very quickly, the eye starts scanning. It does mention you all. The most recent entry on this memo pad is all of your aliases. It does also mention a little bit about like each one of you in terms of the conversations that you've had. Just like quick notes, like Smallrin sneaks up on people and does mention like was a part of the lexicon, and maybe like a little note like talk to her. Like in a, should I talk to her about lexicon life? But there's nothing more than like, clearly he hasn't followed up on that. Talking about Jory, seems to love animals, very exuberant, that kind of stuff. Nehemiah was with the bonfire games, very protective. More than anything else, very detailed notes about where you have gone, where you are going, and what your path has been.
Does there appear to be any notes about us that predate us meeting him?
No.
Okay.
In fact, there's nothing in this memo book that predates you meeting him.
Okay. So this is something he started once we got on the road.
Left the city. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Smallrin is going to commit as much of that to memory as she can. She does dig like a little bit of charcoal and paper out of her own pack and scribble down one or two things. She didn't bring like her whole notebook in. And then she's going to put the memo pad back into the pouch as close as she possibly can to where it was, where it originally was. And next she's going to check out this little metal box.
You open it up. There is nothing in it. It has like a little depression in it, like it's supposed to hold something that's kind of oblong shaped, but that is all that it is. There is an O on it. The interesting thing about it is that it looks like on one side of it, it might have at one point been attached to something else. Like it has like a little bracket or clip that it might have connected to something.
Okay. She's going to put that back in the same place she found it. And this rod that you were talking about, very gently extract that.
As you hold it, you hear Oben's voice.
We arrived in Dinefell, staying at a place called the Anine and Far. Decent place. No hot water, though. There is a lot to take in here. Very simplistic structures, narrow roads, escape would be hard.
Kind of like goes on in detail about like kind of casing the city. There's about 5 minutes of that. And then kind of goes into almost what you would expect, like the kind of prisoner of war style, like description of like, you know, like this is my name, this is where I'm from kind of stuff. But then goes into a little bit more detail about like personal backstory, just like, you know, I was a part of the Bonfire Games and this is who I was and what I did. And then I was here. And it sounds very rehearsed and very robotic.
As someone who does case everywhere she's ever been, does this sound like the way Smallren cases on a regular basis, or does this sound like he's casing the city with intent?
I'm going to have you roll intellect on that one. That's going to be a level 5.
Okay.
And so this is, I'm going to treat this like a social interaction.
Okay. Success with a 12.
There's definitely some sort of intent there. Like an intent on like whether or not he could escape at a moment's notice, about how to get in and out of places, about how well guarded certain things are, about vantage points and who could be watching where he could hide.
Smarin's listening to this, trying to get insight into him. But also, is there anything that he noticed that she hasn't noticed about this place?
Mm.
He makes note of someone he saw in an alley wearing a very form-fitting and slightly iridescent mask, hiding in the shadows and generally sneaking around.
Mm-hmm.
And the note he makes of that is to see if there are any spy networks, crime groups, organizations in this area that should be made aware of.
This rod, can I rewind it? Would I be able to listen to any previous recordings he might have made on it? Or does it seem to be like I pick it up and I hear the most recent?
There's a couple buttons on the side made out of these like crystal nodules. You press one of them and it just goes back to the beginning of that particular thing. You get the sense that this records one thing at a time. That's probably why the end of it was so robotic. He repeats it every time he makes a recording.
All right. She is going to put that back exactly as she found it. And she's going to take a moment and just kind of like very careful not to be like seen from the street below. But she like goes to the window and looks out just to see if she sees them coming back.
Yeah, you don't see them coming back just yet, but you do hear footsteps coming down the hall. And I'll say that you can recognize the footsteps of the people who you travel with. By this point, you recognize Jory's gate.
She's less worried about Jory since Jory knows that Oben isn't here and the door is locked. She is going to go back quickly at this point. She needs to wrap this up, but she is going to take out the mask and take a look at the mask.
It's just a face covering.
Okay. She puts everything back exactly as she found it, takes a moment to kind of like reorient things from where when she took the memo pad out, like something shifted and she tries to make it look as much like it did when she got to it as she can. And then she's going to slip the rings off, take the goggles off, tuck everything back into her pouch and listen at the door to see if the hallway sounds like it's clear.
Jory, when you head back up, are you going back into your room?
Yes, I am.
You hear Jory's door open and close and the hallway is clear.
She's going to unlock the door, go out, close it, lock it behind her, and go knock on Jory's door.
Do come in.
Smarin comes in, just kind of pokes her head in the door.
I'm currently wrapping the egg in some spare cloth into a nice little nest.
You, like, take the bed sheet off and, like...
Exactly. Oh, hi.
I thought I might have heard something. I wanted to see whether there was any movement while you were cleaning yourself.
It's an odd way to put it.
It really was.
That was a very weird way to say that.
I mean, it was very Smallrin, Smallrin but stands man, by that was it.
Arguably way too Smallrin.
Smallrin stands by it. Bridget's a little embarrassed.
It's fine. It doesn't seem like it. Hold on. I'll get low to it and try to look at it straight and see if there's more cracks.
You don't see more cracks, but you hear like a really faint scraping noise from the inside.
I have absolutely no experience to see whether or not this means it's close, as in it could be any minute now or any hour or any day. It's a bit of a mystery, but we're getting there. We're close. Is that what you meant?
That is what I meant. It might not be a bad idea to see if we can find either a book or a person with more information before we have a new adventuring partner.
I agree. I was looking at the board downstairs to find a good place to eat, and, well, I found a theater, too. It might be worth checking out, so long as we don't participate, because that could give some things away about our lives. But I will check again, see if there's a library.
In order to reap the benefits of dream-based entertainment, you must submit yourself to the mortifying ordeal of being known. Sorry. What?
I mean, yes.
I think a library might be a good idea. There's also the potential to ask the Beastmaster for the inn, although I don't know that we want to let them know we have a tetrahydra egg.
That's very true.
Perhaps the library angle first.
Yes, good idea. Any suggestions for what I should do with this at the moment? Should I leave it someplace? Should I have somebody watch it? Should I take it with us? I'm very afraid we're going to get into the heart of the city and then there's suddenly going to be an egg bursting open.
Knowing what little I do about Tetrahydra, I would almost be more worried about it hatching while we're gone and us not having a chance to impress upon it that we are family.
Very true. Well said. I will pick it up and tuck it into a pouch. Okay, I'm ready. Did you want to go exploring?
Let's go. We'll leave a note on Nehemiah's pillow.
Actually, I will say at this point, as you leave a note on Nehemiah's pillow and you are kind of heading out, the other three, Nehemiah, Brex, and Oben, are returning.
Hey!
Hi!
You have a good afternoon?
I think so.
Restful.
Good stuff.
Cold.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anybody else thinking about food? It's been a bit and that fruit's not really holding. And we're going to need to check out a library because I think I'm about to have a little child.
Yeah, and you should probably find what to expect when you're expecting...
Tetrahydra.
I could be down for some food too. Yeah, let's go.
Woo, new city.
Also, I kind of want to check out some of the clothing stores around here. I got read to death by the mayor, and that felt like it was super rude, but in that way you actually can't call him out on because, like, objectively correct, but why would you say that to a stranger, you know?
Wait, sorry, the mayor?
Oben kind of chuckles and goes, he wasn't wrong, though.
Yeah, I know. Look, I know who, I know what I am. I know what I'm walking around like. But yeah, no, the mayor was also at the Tub and Towel. He's got his own private room there.
Ah. Oh, is that who I saw in the
yeah,
street?
Yeah, that was the mayor.
I see. Oh, I assumed it was one of the princes, whatever you'd say, touring around. But okay, that makes sense. Yes, new garments would be good, too. We're getting a bit torn.
Mm-hmm.
Jory, you said that you had found some options for food on the bulletin board?
Yes. Oh, yes, there's a spicy soup shop. Spicy soup. Spicy soup. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to think I'm leaning a sword in way for something else, but spicy soup.
We can grab some spicy soup.
Ooh, can we?
Let's go get some spicy soup.
Whee.
The spicy soup shop is just called Serenity Spice. It's a little more cafe style where you go to a counter and order something and they bring it out to you.
Mm-hmm.
They have a range of different soups with a bunch of different like meats and vegetables or noodles. And with each one, there is like a spice level. It's like a little flame icon next to it. And so kind of like the chili peppers you might see next to things on a menu. It's either one, two, or three little flame icons.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them are naturally spicy, but you can also like add spice to whatever you might be ordering.
Gotcha. I would like a 2, please. Heartiest soup you have at a 2.
The person points out like a stew more than anything else, like a very hearty, thick meat soup with a good number of vegetables in it and like a wide, chewy noodle, and puts that down with a spice level.
Mm. How much?
It's like a shin per bowl.
Okay. I'll get to everybody. How about that?
Oh, thank you.
Hmm? What are the soup tastes of other folks in terms of either flavor or spice?
On the lower end of spicy, we're not looking to prove anything today.
Sure. There is a very simple, like, ramen style dish that is largely noodle, but has like a lot of extras you could like add on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
With like a really hearty bone broth.
Mm-hmm.
Oben goes for like a pretty classic, like chicken noodle-esque style soup and asks for 0 spice if possible.
Aw.
Smaller, it'll go with the kind of ramen style. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Y'all get your soup and it's actually like really good. The flavors are really interesting. They seem to use a lot of like sweeter flavors in their broths. So while there is kind of like that, like I said, hearty, salty bone broth, there are a lot of sweet undertones that actually is a little reminiscent of the fruit that you tasted on the way in here. And you think that might be something that they add to a lot of their broth bases, is that kind of like tangy, sweet fruit.
This is nice.
Yeah.
How spicy is my spicy?
I was going to say, how's Jory handling the spice?
Not nearly as spicy as the Rainbow Challenge, that's for sure.
That's good. I was hoping it wouldn't be that bad, because I would like food.
Yeah, no, it's the kind of spice where, like, you can take 3 or 4 bites, and then you have to, like, take a moment and, like, let your mouth recover, but then you can keep going.
Perfect.
So, not burn your face off, but definitely has, like, some hefty kick to it.
Love it. Love everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Brex kind of just like sits with you and obviously isn't eating anything, but sure. Is kind of just like there and watching and cool. Being.
Yeah.
While everybody's finishing up, I will go to the shopkeep and just ask, well, thank you. That was really good. I did have a question. Is there a library anywhere nearby or a bookseller, anything like that?
Yeah, there's both.
Oh, good. Could you point me in the direction?
Which are you looking for?
Let's say both. Actually, let's go with the shop, because if I find the book I need, I'm probably going to need it for a while.
Are you looking for a certain kind of book?
Yes, something about animals, creatures.
Regular old books, rare books, because that's kind of really the...
Probably both, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, sure. If you're just looking for, like, general stuff, there's a place called Cover to Cover down there.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're probably just going to want to go down. There's a place called Cars, like, for the listeners, not C-A-R-S, K-H-A-R.
Cars.
Cars. Yeah. It's just Cars books. That's kind of, like, more of, like, the rare, collectible, weird stuff.
Good. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time and your delicious soup. I'm sure to be back.
Yeah.
I will go back and sit down. Well, I found a couple of places we can start with for my misadventure that I got myself into out of probably pure stupidity. There's 2 shops that sell books, and I'm hoping one of the 2, probably the more rare one, will have some information on tetrahydrox.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not illegal to have them. It's just, you know, kind of weird.
It's not the most common thing, and they are kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
They are, in fact, dangerous, and we are highly populated.
Yeah, it's probably not starting out so big.
You know, I just assumed they didn't come out dangerous, but I guess they might.
Could be a bit grabby with a little circular mouth thing.
Remind us again how big this egg is also. Like, I got the impression this thing wasn't coming out particularly small.
No. It was...
I thought it was, like, football-sized.
No, definitely bigger than that. Like, like 18 inches tall.
Ew.
I was going to say, this thing is, like, the size of the watermelon baby carried into the party in Dirty Dancing.
Yes, yeah. Like, actually, large watermelon-sized is a very good way to describe
it. Okay, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
This thing's going to come out the size of, like, at least, what, a Jack Russell Terrier?
What? Probably, like, base body, probably the size of, like, a basketball.
Okay. Sounds good. That's not bad. That's something you could grab and hold on to.
I'm actually kind of surprised that you haven't, like, thought more on this up until now.
Yeah, well, we
really bet at a place to do that. I mean,
it's preoccupied.
Yeah, you've pretty much been with us every step of the way since the day we got this thing. There hasn't been a lot of time to swing on down to a bookseller or something yet.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, well, yeah, we can look for that. Anything else anyone's...
If we see a clothing shop, I might want to stop by, but I'm in no rush.
And likewise.
For sure, yeah. I'll probably grab something, too.
And I would like to swing by that theater at some point. I need to check again what times they're playing, but it's very interesting. And we might as well take in some culture while we're here. It's sort of been a while. Mm. Headed to the bookstore.
Does everyone want to bookstore, or are folk kind of splitting up again?
Smallrun's just tagging along at this point. Mm-hmm. She has no set plans, and she's done her dastardly deed for the day.
Fair. You'll kind of make your way over to the bookstore. Are you going to cover to cover or Kar's books?
I think Kar's books is probably more likely.
You head in there, and there is a very eccentric-looking young person kind of standing near the front of the store, but clearly like shelving some things, is wearing really bright clothing and has a pair of glasses that accentuate their eyes to a ridiculous degree and have like one of those magnifying glasses that can flip in front of it. They have a very messy hairstyle and a lot of pens or pencils and writing utensils kind of like stashed in weird places on their body, like in a breast pocket, in the back pants pocket, in a little arm pocket, behind their ear, and like writing utensils everywhere.
Hello.
Oh, sorry. You startled me. Hello, welcome to Kar's Books.
I kind of look around because I'm clearly at the front desk, so I'm not sure how I startled them. I, if you please, am looking for a book about caretaking for unusual creatures.
Yes, we definitely have books that relate to various creature husbandry. What kind of creatures are you considering? Because that will definitely change the resources we have.
Winged carnivores, if you please.
You're going to have to be more specific. I'm very sorry.
Tetrahydras, that sort of thing.
Tetrahydras. Yes. Okay, yes, tetrahydra care. So what we are going to do is we need to find... Let's see here. Give me a second. And they kind of like skitter behind the desk and like pull a big like directory out of one of the shelves and flop it down on the desk and start flipping through different pages. We're going to be looking for, I think, is Vert's Guide to Semi-Domesticated Animals. It covers the kind of things that like some people have domesticated, but like it's not really common as much as you would think it is, but you know, they can be kept as pets. Give me a second here.
Semi-domesticated.
Eventually like finds the listing, shuts the book and starts like, again, skittering off into one of the bookshelves. Follow me!
Will do.
And pulls out a tome off the bottom shelf that is definitely an older book, but not like old, falling apart. It has a bit of a worn cover kind of thing. And the clerk flips it open, and as they're flipping through the pages, you can see that each of the illustrations has almost like an animation to it. Huh. Like it is embedded with something that allows there to be like a tiny moving picture for each page and depiction of the creatures.
Oh, this is perfect. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of like your mainstay. This is the go-to book for such a thing?
To my knowledge.
Excellent. I will take it. Also, do you have any recipe books for gelato?
Yeah, there's a food section. I think there's a couple books on frozen treats. I can show you that.
Oh, good. Oh, good. No need to linger on it. I will investigate.
Creature Guide is 5 shins.
Done.
Because it's a bit of a rare one. And you do find a ice cream, sorbet, frozen yogurt, gelato kind of frozen dessert recipe mm-hmm. book that is 2 shins. It's one of those things where it's not rare. It's just not very many copies were made. So it's not like, oh, no one can find it. It was just kind of like a limited run.
Yep. Ah, perfect. I'm going to outdo you, book. I consider you a challenge.
I hope you enjoy your purchases. Thanks for stopping into Kar's Books.
Thank you.
And they go back to stocking shelves. as you're all kind of like heading towards the door, like kind of feeling where like everyone kind of like gathers around the front of a store when we're about to leave and making sure that everyone is here before like heading out into the street, you do see Oben put a couple shins on the counter and kind of nod to the bookkeeper and hold up a book that he then puts into his pack, like a little satchel that he has.
Ogrim Orr, please zoom in on that book title real quick.
I'm going to have you roll a quick speed check to see if you can notice it quickly enough.
Okay.
It's going to be a level 7.
7. I'm going to spend for a point of effort on that. Failure with a 10. Didn't quite get there.
The one word that you get on it before it's put away is the word history.
As we're going out, Smallrin is just going to ask, find something good.
Yeah. You know, just personal interest stuff.
Continues on.
And you all head back into the street, whether it's to find new clothing, check out this theater, or just kind of generally get a sense for what the city of Dinefell is like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we'll call it.
Woo!
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 Thank you so much for listening to episode 115 of Imprinted Echoes and Amnesis. As always, if you'd like to follow the podcast on social media, you'll find us on Twitter and Facebook at Imprinted Echoes, and our website, imprintedechoes.com. On our website, you'll find links to the Ghostlight Media merch store and our Patreon if you're able to help us out monetarily. And on that note, I'd like to thank Svani, Rin, and Xander for their support. If you'd like to help us out in other ways, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast, leave us a rating and review, and tell a friend about the show. You can also find our hosts on Twitter, myself at Covered in Sawdust, Chase at TQ Loudly, Rin at Rin_Moran, and Bridget at Really Bridget. And be sure to follow our network, Ghostlight Media, at GLM Pods. Thank you once again for listening, and I hope you'll be back in 2 weeks to hear yet another episode of Imprinted Echoes. And until then, may your ciphers never malfunction. Imprinted Echoes is produced by Zan Campbell-Johannes and Chase Greenlee, and is edited by Alex Berkowitz. Original show theme music is by Justin Longacre.
This has been a Ghostlight Media production.